COVID-19 patients need your help.
If you've fully recovered from COVID-19
or unknowingly been exposed to it,
you may have the antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients recover.
Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies.
Visit Vitalant.org today to schedule an appointment to donate blood.
That's Vitalant.org. Help save lives and schedule your appointment at Vitalant.org.
You could help save lives.
It's the Innovation Podcast with Mark Reed Edwards and Garnett Harriman. Let's start the show.
Hi, it's Mark. We're back with part two of our chat with Bruno Aguiar of ESL. Today, we explore more about betting and esports, the background of ESL, the key innovations of ESL, and how brands are seeing the value of esports. So let's get back to the chat.
Okay, so I see you went to one particular part of the betting spectrum, right? That, it sounds like you're talking about real money, you know, betting.
Yeah.
It's possible to bet for just prizes or, you know, digital currency or something like that? Or is non-real money betting or competition happening now or no?
No. From a betting perspective, I don't think so. I mean, of course, there's a lot of well, let's say the real money in gaming, obviously, but in esports, I mean, the money, like it's on the prize monies of the teams. So when you compete in a tournament or media rights or sponsorship, etc. So it's not, esports is really focused on that side. It's not the other bits are present on kind of video games industry in general, but not so much in esports.
Got it. Thanks. So I'm going to shift gears to the next question a little bit. I was surprised. I don't know, Mark, when you were looking at the background, if you were also surprised. ESL is almost 20 years
old. Nothing surprises me these days.
and that is why you are the boss here, you know, because you've seen everything and done everything, and you know, your equanimity is rivaled only by your prescience and intelligence. So good for you.
Well, thank you.
So ESL is almost 20 years old, and even still, it may not be so well known to like mainstream folks, non-gamers, non-technology folks. Can you give like just a quick background on ESL and the sort of like key milestones or key innovations, maybe key
sure.
first, you know, first,
key first
that,
yeah.
that ESL is known for?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, okay, just starting with what is ESL? And I mean, ESL, we are the leader and pretty much a pioneer of the esports industry as a whole. We helped create the whole ecosystem that, you know, involves like teams, game publishers, broadcasters, sponsors, and above all, fans. So we work with all of them. We're in contact with all of them. Not only we have this kind of leadership position in terms of the creation, like kind of pioneering role, but also we really take that seriously in terms of pushing for integrity with the implementation of like anti-cheat. We were like the first ones to do that, and well, we founded the ESEC, which is the kind of an integrity body for sports. And I mean, we grew to become like what you know today. Whether you want to watch esports matches or actually play the game, we have a multitude of destinations that we can offer. So you can both play and watch different levels from like, you know, small offline tournaments to these mega events with 170,000 people going to the stadium over a period of different days and millions of people watching it, streaming online. So what we try to do is really kind of like keep the path that we call from zero to hero as short as possible. And zero to hero means that, you know, you can start as an amateur, and we want to give you all the possibilities to become kind of a professional athlete. So we have a place for you when you are an amateur and when you are growing up all the way to kind of like becoming like a pro player. So in terms of first, I mean, so ESL was founded in 2000. Really is with kind of launch of the Electronic Sports League. We had the first esports tournaments back in 2002 with an offline tournament called ESL Pro Series. Today is the ESL Meisterschaft, which is basically the German national championship. And we had the first big cooperation with Intel. So back in 2002.
Very cool. Cool. That's a big one.
It's a big one. Then we went in 2003, the first time we went abroad to France. 2005, first time we introduced all the anti-cheating system that I talked about, and we built a kind of a ladder in terms of how to rank players and how to match players. In 2007, we did the first Intel Extreme Masters, which is the longest running pro gaming circuit in the world, and it's still running today. 2013, we really went global with events on 6 different continents, and then we went for the first time to Katowice, which now is the world's largest event. Then we also introduced a bunch of new games. Like in 2017, we introduced the PUBG to the esports community. So I also have this role in terms of working with the game developers to really introduce the games to the esports community. And then 2018, major deals with non-endemic brands, which was a big deal because a lot of the brands were kind of mostly endemic. And then we really had the first major deals with the likes of Mercedes, DHL, Vodafone. And just this year, we, I would say, refreshed our brand identity. So that's kind of like the latest big thing to really, you know, to really focus on our positioning and to really talk with the fans and really market ourselves in a way that hasn't been seen before in the industry of esports. So that's in a nutshell.
Very cool. As far as innovation, this is totally subjective, but as far as innovation, pick one that stands out in your mind of the things that you just mentioned. And, you know, if you're looking back, you know, there's an old saying that hindsight is 20/20. So now you have almost 20 years worth of 20/20 vision. So with that 20/20 hindsight, tell me what you think the most important one was as far as innovation.
As far as innovation, I mean, you mean kind of technology innovation or from my
pure... Yeah. Anything. Yeah. But technology is obviously the big one. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I would say that, you know, actually the key innovation was esports itself. I mean, we basically gave a rising gamers a stage to perform on. I mean, there were people playing and they would have their kind of their small LAN parties. And what we did was like, we basically believed that there was an audience for that, that this was interesting enough, this was involving and emotional enough to become a thing. So I would say that kind of the main innovation of all. I mean, then, you know, we're talking about technology innovations that are things like anti-cheat systems, but it's not really driven by us. Like, we use the tools that are available to us, not so much as to develop something. You know, ESL is not a technology company. We are a media company.
Yeah, Mark, it's almost like the technology is, which is inherently what we talk about a lot here on this podcast, is technology is not the real innovation. It's almost like this is a media innovation based on a social innovation. You know,
definitely. But I mean, of course, technology
or a cultural innovation almost, right? I mean,
yeah, definitely. But I mean, it's fueled by technology in the sense that this is only possible because technology is there. And I mean, and that's why we see such a big gap between, you know, people which we consider digital natives and grew up with the internet and see, I mean, they don't even consider the possibility of a game not being played online. That doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Try to touch a television. I mean, and then we have a whole older segment of the population, which, you know, they never did that. And it was just not possible. And when I was a kid, I didn't do that. I mean, I would play offline. I just didn't have the possibility to go out and just play with anyone from anywhere in the world. But for them, it is. So the technology enables that. But then, of course, because it's there, the culture and the entertainment value that comes from people basically adopting video games as a kind of an entertainment or their core entertainment.
Sure.
Yeah, that's the big one. But I mean, of course, we to make this system work and to make the esports ecosystem work, you need a lot of things to work. So it's not just about the teams. It's not just about the events, or it's not just about the game itself. It's not just about the sponsors. It's everything. So it's making all of these work in a way that is relevant, that is interesting, that has a story to tell, and that's basically the our role and what we try to do. We really try to, you know, just showcase what we believe in.
So you opened the door for this next question with your reference earlier to ESL's goal being to support the trajectory of all esports players from zeros to heroes.
Yeah.
I want to analyze a little bit the zero side of the spectrum. Is it true that only nerds play esports?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, especially nowadays, I mean, esports is basically kind of almost like a social tool. You mentioned that before, because a lot of the games you play in teams. The connection to the fans is kind of constant. Like if the players are not in a tournament, they probably are streaming something and practicing. So it is extremely social. So kind of like the opposite of what you would expect from nerds. On the other hand, I mean, basically everyone nowadays is playing a game. So not to the level of esports, of course, that is kind of a competitive gaming. But when it comes to playing games, like especially like on a mobile, for example, everybody plays games. So it's something that is, you know, before could be, you know, restricted to a limited number of people. But nowadays, everybody has a smartphone and everybody's playing a game. And we have an entire generation of Gen Y and Gen Z that grew up with gaming as the most popular entertainment thing for them. So it's really popular, and it's becoming more and more a mass thing rather than the niche.
And it seems like I think your phrase was non-endemic. It seems like non-endemic brands are starting to see the value of how widespread esports gaming is and just how big that audience could be now and over time. There seems to be a little bit of a love fest unfolding between major global brands and esports at the moment. which global brands are now playing in the space, and who's doing the coolest activations or campaigns or what have you, and who's doing the most innovative marketing concepts, any and all of that, if you care to comment on.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, non-endemic brands are really kind of jumping into this arena, which is great. And, you know, talking specifically about the ESL, we have great sponsors like Vodafone, Mercedes, DHL, AT&T, Pepsi, Intel, obviously. I would say, you know, Intel is a bit more endemic in a sense. But so we have all of these great brands. And then when it comes to most kind of innovative concepts, there are a lot of examples with a slightly different flavor. But so, I mean, I can start with Vodafone. I mean, Vodafone, one thing that, is really interesting is how immersive the experiences when it comes to communication within the esports with us. So ranging from kind of native product integration in the events, like with bracelets, with lights, we create also kind of a exclusive content, a Vodafone gaming booth at the event where everybody could go and play. They could mingle with influencers. They could actually play against some pro players. There were kind of signing sessions and all that. So really kind of an immersive experience. And then also, when it comes to the event itself, part of the broadcast was really kind of all red from Vodafone, and there was a specific segment called the Vodafone View, which focused on the statistics and analyzed players. So really goes deep into the story and really goes, you know, it's not just plastering everything with the logo. They really go deep in terms of integration of the brand with the events. So that's one case. Another one that comes to mind is Mercedes. So Mercedes, they have this Grow Up campaign, and they created what I consider an amazing TV spot about the Mercedes car, but really focused on esports. Well, that basically challenged a lot of the stigma or the kind of negative associations in terms, you know, we talked about nerds, for example, but also associations of, you know, like the playing is something for kids, that, you know, that you don't have like kind of the traditional values, when actually in reality, in a different shape and different form, but all of those things are in esports. So basically, you know, it was, I would say, special because it really tapped in the culture. So the culture obviously is becoming kind of a more mass culture, but, you know, it really tapped specifically with the niche of the players that they make that a living. They make esports their living, and they grow up with it. So that was really interesting. I, you know, if you can have a look online, to TV spot is brilliant. And then I would say the last one was DHL. DHL kind of joined recently, and they have a really interesting approach to it, where actually we created a kind of a unique content for them, but in a way that they really kind of integrated with the game itself. So not so much with an event, but in this case, we're talking about a Dota 2 game, and we created content with them, where basically we have kind of a personality that is known for that community. And that personality, we kind of established that he was a DHL delivery man, and we basically created memes. we actually, in the middle of the game, one of them was a stop. You know, DHL have these kind of like delivery bots. And so we actually created a video where that delivery bot goes inside of the game to deliver some of the items to the.
Oh, that's cool.
Really, really cool. I was in Hamburg with having the DSL one in Hamburg, and we have the audience, DHL. And I mean, we're talking about the most. I mean, these fans, they don't fall for, oh, yeah, oh, these guys are sponsoring. Oh, great. No, you really need to speak their language. And I mean, and this content. Sure. Spot on. So yeah, those are kind of some of the examples. But I guess the key theme here is it needs to be immersive. The marketing concepts that work are the ones which are truly immersive, that really resonate in terms of culture, in terms of understanding of the games, understanding of the events, and understanding of the dynamics. So it's not enough to just go there and put your logo. You really need to do more than that. And these brands are doing it.
That's all for this time. Next week, we're back with more of our chat with Bruno as we delve more into the esports landscape, the future investments that ESL is making, data, and lots more. So stay tuned.
Thanks for joining Garnett and Mark on the Innovation Podcast. Visit innovationpodcast.co to subscribe and listen to other episodes.
You've never tried to eyeball 6 feet as often as you do now. You wear a mask, you wash your hands, and you've stayed within the walls of your apartment for more hours than you care to add up. But unless you live in a smoke-free building, you're not exactly home-free. Secondhand smoke drifting through the cracks in walls or sink drains carries toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. And right now, lung health is key. Go to tobaccofreeca.com to learn how to stay safe.